Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, October 28th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here at UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is 38 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Pre-Crime Face Analysis, DOD Robot Armies, Fly-Eating Ecobot, and Eater, E-A-T-R. And that was the DARPA robot that could potentially eat human corpses. And yeah, you know, we spent a whole week looking at how far AI has come and some of the developments that have been going on, and I have to say that they have been quite disturbing, to say the least. We ended the show looking at that Eater robot and the militarization of America utilizing unmanned vehicles, whether they be aerial, ground, or otherwise. So what I'd like to take a look at today is kind of top the subject off, and I think on Monday we'll dovetail this to get us back into some of the genetic stuff that's been going on. We had looked at a story yesterday in regards to a facial recognition company out of Israel. It was able to take your statistical genetic makeup of your face after scanning your face and then be able to put an algorithm against it and discover whether or not you, statistically speaking, based upon your heritage, potentially had the capability to be a terrorist, a criminal, a genius. They listed something else out there. I don't remember what the other one was. And they've had a very, very high success rate in being able to determine very precisely what kind of person you are. They've been profiling personalities. They said that during that attack, the quote-unquote terror attack that happened in France last November, they were able, out of 11 terrorists, even though police only had 3 of them on record, they were able to identify after the fact 9 of the 11 terrorists. And they're looking at using this as a pre-crime tool. There, according to the press release, is a large quote-unquote Homeland Security Department that's going to start using their technology. This company is named Faceception, F-A-C-E-P-T-I-O-N. And I just went out to their website. Faceception is a facial personality profiling technology company. Facial personality profiling technology company. Frightening. We reveal personality from facial images at scale to revolutionize how companies, organizations, and even robots understand people and dramatically improve public safety, communications, decision-making, and experiences. You know, I had read a story also before that had looked at, like, for years, they have been able to identify with pretty high accuracy, but remember, humans are puny. But you have these things called micro-expressions on your face that you don't even realize you're doing them. I guess in the old days, they would have called them like a tell. So if you were playing poker or whatever, trying to keep your poker face, maybe your left eye got twitchy, and that's how someone knew you had the ace of spades. But a lot of times, especially if people aren't trained to look for those cues, they go unnoticed unless you develop that capability to be able to know what you're looking for. But they've discovered that with artificial intelligence, they are able to ask people questions while having a camera trained upon their face and running it through their algorithms. And with a very high accuracy, they are able to tell whether or not you are lying. So it's like an artificial intelligence lie detector machine just by the micro expressions on your face. And like I said, even though you don't see them necessarily, the machine does, and especially if it knows what it's looking for. So guys, this is going a very, very disturbing direction. If they can scan you in a crowd and determine whether or not there is a high likelihood that you might be a criminal, and then be able to track you and see you, you know, having discussions with people or whatever. You start getting questioned by police. And let's say, what's it going to take for that police body cam now to be back-ending some of its video capture it's gaining while they're asking you questions and be doing a real-time lie detector on you? You know, they ask you a question and your left eyebrow starts twitching. Hey, slap the cuffs on him. He's lying. I could see that coming in the not-too-distant future. Let's read a little bit more about this faceception. Our technology is the first to technology and the first to market with proprietary computer vision and machine learning technology for profiling people and revealing their personality based only on their facial image. Faceception can analyze faces from video streams, recorded in live cameras, online, offline databases, encode the faces in a proprietary image descriptor, and match an individual with various personality traits and types with a high level of accuracy. We develop proprietary classifiers, each describing certain personality traits or traits such as, oh yeah, whether or not you're an extrovert, a person with a high IQ, a professional poker player, a terrorist whore, like they said yesterday, a criminal. And ultimately, we can score facial images set on a set of classifiers, provide our clients with a better understanding of their customers, the people in front of them or in front of their cameras. And they also had talked yesterday about potentially being able to use this for marketing purposes as well. Put it into banks, they had talked about. Right here, some of their vertical markets they are going after: public safety, as well as smart cities. Ding, ding. Remember, we were talking about the smart cities a couple weeks back in relation to how they are now integrating and working on integrating this new 5G high bandwidth internet for the connection of the Internet of Everything. You know, the Internet of Everything is going to include not only your smart refrigerator, but also your smart traffic lights, your surveillance cameras, your cell phone network, the autonomous flying drones, but also you and I and any of those little biosensing monitors that they are working on right now and want to get inside of us in the name of precision medicine and to keep costs down. We will all be a part of that smart city. They also are going after a vertical of personal robots so the robot can tell whether or not you're a criminal, I guess, or whether or not you are lying to it. You know, okay, Dave, I'm going to bed now. As you go into your room and you close the door and keep Mr. Robot out, and he can see on your face you're really not going to bed. You just want some privacy, so he might report you. They also want to use it in love matching. So I guess they'll be able to scan your face in an online photo and find any of the potential matches that you have out there. Let's pair up the criminals. Let's pair up the terrorists. Let's pair up the geniuses. They could use it in retail for marketing. They could use it in insurance to determine whether or not they should sell you any. They could use it in recruiting, such as military, as well as in finance, and decide whether or not you seem trustworthy and if they should lend you money. It's pretty horrifying, and we thought it was bad that your genetic profile is not protected and may get in the hands of the insurance companies. It is not illegal or discriminatory right now for them to decide that based upon your DNA profile, they are not going to give you life insurance because you have something that potentially makes you a risk, whether it be from like a genetic disease or, you know, maybe those psychopath genes. But now let's add another tool to their toolbox. They'll be able to profile you at any time. Maybe it'll end up even on your dashboard in your brand new self-driving car. But then I had mentioned another story. Half of American adults are in police facial recognition databases. They already have our faces in there, and lots of us that are in that database are not even criminals at all. But now, if you take a look at being able to now take this additional technology. And I mean, how convenient that they have all these pictures of people who aren't even criminals, and then run this tool against those faces and go, hey, look at this person is someone that we should be putting on our red list to pay attention to. Let's take a look at this story. Cities and states are investing, and this is from October 19, 2016, in biometric scanning technology with few laws. There are very few laws, just like any of this technology, in place to restrict what they can do with that information. If you are reading this in the United States, there is a 50% chance that a photo of your face is in at least one database used in police facial recognition systems. Police departments in nearly half of the U.S. states can use facial recognition software to compare surveillance images with databases of ID photos or mugshots. Some departments only use facial recognition to confirm the identity of a suspect who has been detained. Others continuously analyze footage from surveillance cameras to determine exactly who is walking by at any particular moment. You know, and now let's couple that with some of the tech that we looked at back when we were looking at that 5G and millimeter wave. We did a whole bunch of days on that. And one of the things that I had brought up was a story that Madison Rupert had covered back in 2012 about the molecular scanner that is able to scan you covertly at the airports up to 264 feet away, I believe it was, and determine what you had for breakfast. So let's add that now to this technology. It's scanning your face. It bloop, identifies you in the database and then bloop, scans you to determine whether or not you have any incendiaries on your body or whether or not you had an Egg McMuffin for breakfast. How horrifying is that? You could be detained and not have done anything at all at that moment, but they have discovered not only are you in their database, not only has the Faceception software determined that you could be a potential problem person, but now we found something that looks mysteriously like THC on your lip. Oh, pull him over. He's not going to pass go. Altogether, more than 117 million American adults are subject to facial scanning systems. And these findings were published last week in a report from Georgetown Law's Center for Privacy and Technology. It details the result of a year-long investigation that drew upon more than 15,000 pages of records obtained through more than 100 FOIA requests. The study's authors, Claire Garvey, Alvaro Bedoya, and Jonathan Frankel, attempted to fill in large gaps in the public knowledge about how facial recognition technology is used and the existence of policies that constrain how police departments use it. And some of the details about the FBI's use of facial scanning were previously known, but the scale of local and state law enforcement involvement is only now starting to come to light. Facial recognition is fundamentally different from other types of searches, the author contends, because it's not easy for police to track people by their physical features rather than by keeping an eye on their possessions and technology like a smartphone, house, or car. For one, it allows officers to track large groups of people who aren't even necessarily suspected of a crime. Courts haven't determined whether facial recognition constitutes a search, which would limit its use under the Fourth Amendment. So many departments use it on the public indiscriminately. And like I said yesterday, this is really a problem because now you have absolutely no privacy whatsoever. I would say, yes, it is an unconstitutional search. Why should you be scanned and pre-crimed when you haven't done a damn thing wrong? Of course, it's all in the name of safety. Keeping all your smart cities safe because there's just criminals running rampant and the poor police can't keep up anymore. But guys, this has gone above and beyond. You know, I talked about technologies yesterday in regards to protecting your identity from some of these tools. And I had remembered correctly is the LED little light strips and you clip them on the top of a baseball hat. And I saw some demonstrations as you go in front of a camera, that LED light, and the one they used had like five or six little lights across the top, that LED light puts a big bright circle over your face for the security camera. I used to have one here somewhere. I mean, they're anywhere from $5 to $10 on Amazon. And definitely, I think, in lieu of what we've learned about this Israeli software, every single one of us should own one of those. And just to fuck with the system, wear one with a hat every time we go out into public. You know, and this is just absolutely off the rails, crazy. And, you know, I don't do anything wrong at all. I try to be pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I think I had read one time that out of all of the laws, there are so many laws that probably every single one of us breaks a law without even knowing it on a daily basis. But at least knowingly, I'm good. I'm not doing anything. I'm not plotting anything. I'm not creating any trouble. So why should I be scanned, bagged, and tagged? It's like being invasive. It's like they've gotten inside of my space. And I really think just to mess with the system, I am going to get one of those. So anyone wants to get one, it might be kind of fun. Anyway, it lets you track large groups of people who haven't done anything or been suspected of a crime. And what's more, in order for facial recognition to work, there needs to be a database for it to check against. Unless, of course, you're this brand new Israeli software that they're going to roll out to a Homeland Security Department. Wink. If a police agency wants to know that the guy caught holding up the bank in a surveillance photo is John Doe, it needs to already have a photo on file of John Doe. And if the surveillance footage is good enough, the recognition algorithm can then determine the probability that the face in the photo is the same one in John's driver's license portrait. Oh, yeah, we found that out long ago, that your new driver's license photos are all being sent to a big facial recognition database for a lot of the states. For it to be possible to identify people this way, it requires importing many millions of ID photos of innocent people into lookup databases. And according to the report, 80% of the photos that appear on the FBI's facial recognition network are of non-criminals. Only 8% were shown to be known criminals. So guys, 80% of the photos in the FBI's database are non-criminals, which probably includes you and me. Don't worry, there's no laws. We'll just be splicing and dicing, and now we got this new tool so we can pre-crime every single one of you. And I'm sure that that was part of the plan. You know, we looked at a lot of this NSA surveillance over the years and this whole dragnet that's been going on, and they're like, oh, don't worry, we're only pulling your metadata, and we can't get anything from your metadata. Well, then we find out there was a company out there that took that metadata and plotted it to show exactly how much they can find out about you. And they discovered that it was very invasive. So here they've been dragnetting every single one of us, pulling our cell records, our GPS locations, our contacts, our phone calls, every type of interaction we make on social media, and putting it into a personalized dossier along with your mugshots or your driver's license photo that then they run through their AI algorithm to get a Homeland Security profile rating on you. And I had read something about that as well a while back. When law enforcement pulls you over and they punch in your information, they will get a profile page on you, and it will give them a ranking as to whether or not you are a potential threat. Let's now add to this pre-crime facial scanning, and we have a recipe for disaster, because based upon everything that they can see about you, now let's determine whether or not, genetically speaking, you are one of those shifty people. You are one of those non-conformity thinkers. And there would be a reason to put you aside and question you. Never before has federal law enforcement created a biometric database or a network of databases that is primarily made up of law-abiding citizens, the report says. And many of the various local and state police departments that have access to these databases have few checks and balances on how to use them. only 5 states have any laws that touch how law enforcement can use facial recognition, and none of them take on more than one aspect of the issue at a time. This means that some departments have gotten away with patently absurd uses of the technology. No big surprise here. In Maricopa County, Arizona, the sheriff's office, led by a famously combative and anti-immigrant sheriff. Yeah, I don't remember his name. What was his name? Arapayo. He downloaded in Arizona, from what I understand from a friend with a personal experience there, Arizona is not where you want to screw around. But Sheriff Arapayo downloaded every single driver's license and mugshot from every resident of Honduras provided by the Honduran government and added it to its facial recognition database. Departments that use that technology in a more straightforward way can still be stymied by the inaccuracies and biases that often plague facial recognition algorithms. They have been found to perform more poorly on African American faces than other races, which can make it much more likely that the system will misidentify an innocent black person as a suspect. So, like, you know, not only do we have this whole police brutality issue that, you know, it targets anyone who seems to be a minority, but now we're going to have facial recognition databases doing the same. And because African Americans are disproportionately likely to be arrested and thus show up in mugshot databases, systems that use booking photos will more likely flag an African American face than a Caucasian one. And at the end of a long thread of tweets highlighting the report's findings, which the author compiled the thread in the story, the authors point out that only a handful of departments that modeled responsible use of the facial recognition technology. The Seattle Police Department has banned real-time facial recognition, so phew, they'll only look at you on the backups. And that is when the algorithms comb through live video feeds for matches and real-time situations. But they use it also for consulting with the Washington branch of the American Civil Liberties Union when they develop policy. And in San Diego, police got legislative approval to actually use the technology. And San Francisco police stipulated strong accuracy requirements in their contracts with their facial recognition vendors. But most cities and states have no such limits on how their very often very expensive systems can be used. So let's use the crap out of them since we paid a lot of money for it. Let's get all the mileage we can. And a pattern of opacity means that it is really hard to find out how they are using them absent an army of researchers and a fat stack of FOIAs. And with their landmark report, these authors hope to push more law enforcement towards transparency and convince state legislatures and Congress to pass laws regulating facial recognition to make sure it isn't abused. So guys, you know what? They have lax laws on how any of this information is being used, but I haven't seen a law yet that says that I can't hide my face. And obviously, if you put on a ski mask or you're wearing a burqa, probably is going to send a little more suspicion your way. Get an LED bar. Just clip it to the underside of your hat. Put a hat on. Or actually, even if you're wearing a sweatshirt, maybe if you clipped it to the collar of your shirt and turned it on, that might work as well. Shield up. But I think I'm just going to mess with them. And like I said, there are no laws that I have seen that says you cannot be hiding your face. So now let's go to another story here. We've talked about this. We looked at all kinds of militarization and robotics. We saw a story yesterday out of RT saying that by 2025, the Army is going to have at least, if not more, than half of the combat military as robots on the battlefield. Well, Jake Anderson from Anti-Media, anybody knows Jake or heard Jake is on with Nick and DB sometime. So come on. And Jake is going to be stepping up, I believe, next Friday. He's going to take LaVon's slot on Friday nights for a while LaVon gets some stuff settled. She's got some stuff going on at home. So this will be really awesome because Jake features a lot of his stories on Mad Science Gone Mad Tech, typically AI, and a lot of the stuff I talk about. Jake released a story back on the 21st, so a week ago today, Fleet of Android Robots to Begin Policing the Streets by 2017. And if I'm not mistaken, this is going to be in one of the Gulf states. Yeah, Dubai, where they have Lamborghinis for police cars. According to a report from the Gulf Information Technology Exhibit, or GIDEX, a fleet of Android robots will police the streets of Dubai as early as 2017. Videos from Dubai's annual computer and electronics trade show feature new prototypes of the robot shaking hands, saluting, and brandishing a touchscreen interface by which people can report crimes or pay traffic fines. So this isn't going to be an Atlas chasing you, or an eater robot chasing you down the street yet, but it's going to be an Android bot. You can go right up to his little LED and punch in your crime or pay your ticket. I don't know, maybe you'll be a meter maid. It is another indicator that we are fast approaching an age of automated policing. And, you know, we took a look a while ago at that K5 that looks like the little R2-D2 robot, just a little more futuristic, that they're already using to patrol license plates and parking lots and malls and things. And it even ran over a little girl, and that isn't funny, and didn't even apologize. But now we are going to have actual androids on the street in a city. And the robot cop prototype is able to scan faces, ding, possibly serving as a new mobile street surveillance tool. And in the coming months, a team consisting of the Dubai Police, and our good old friend Watson, as well as Google, will improve the robot's artificial intelligence technology so it can, quote, spot people from 10 meters or 20 meters away, approach them, and greet them. Oh, my God. As said, Dubai Police's Technical Innovations Department. How frightening. Oh, my God. Here comes the android. Run. I mean, I wonder if he'll be able to go into pursuit. Says, quote, we are expecting for it to be in tourist areas at the first of 2017. And we want to have it in a more thoroughly covered area. Dubai's Android cops follow in a recent but frenetic tradition of automating policing experiments being deployed by law enforcement across the world. Many were shocked by the weaponized robot drones that took out a killer cop killer, Mika Xavier Johnson, in Dallas earlier this year. We talked about that yesterday. But the bigger surprise is how much robotic and drone technology has been integrated into our newly militarized police departments. And, you know, I'm going to add to that, military. There is a drone catching drone in Japan, a riot control drone in India, an Israeli Roverbot, traffic robocops in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and many others. And he didn't mention K5 in California. And we are likely to see a beta, Jake, I don't know what this word is, acculuration stage, not even knowing what that means, of militarized policing in which the general population is exposed to the reality of drones and android cops. So here we go, guys. And, you know, when we take a look at how everything is being automated here, and we are not only talking about drones, but we're talking about, like, now the airline co-pilot. We're talking about semis delivering 50,000 beers in Colorado. We're talking about self-serve restaurants and automated factories replacing 60,000 workers in one swoop. This is getting to be a trend. And the joke about robots taking all of our jobs is in our not-too-distant future. So we add to that now. We talked about some of the DARPA technology yesterday and them being able to utilize drones to identify suspects from a long, long ways away with facial recognition to determine not only who's a terrorist, but how to bomb you or taser you from the sky. Well, listen to this video. This is from October 25th, 3 days ago, out of Inverse.com. It's a technology magazine. It increasingly, it says, video from military drone show it can identify armed people. It increasingly seems like armed, potentially lethal artificial intelligence is going to be inevitable, for better or for worse. And look no further than this video of a basic retail level drone that U.S. military's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, equipped with a state-of-the-art AI that allows it to track and identify if people on the ground are armed or not. Now, we already saw in New York City some of that terahertz scanner technology that allows them to do the naked body scanners, just like the scanners in the airport that Chertoff released a while back after 2011. It was in 2009 or in 2009, we had read a story back from then that had talked about their big rollout, and of course, they had all the implications of nude body scanners. We listened to a video with the police chief at the time. I don't remember, it was the guy before Bratton, on one of the main news shows, talking about their new technology given to them by DARPA, utilizing terahertz scanners to be able to determine, since stop and frisk was determined to be unconstitutional, these terahertz scanners would be able to scan you and determine whether or not you had a firearm. So I'm going to guess that this is very similar technology. According to the New York Times, which acquired the video as part of a lengthy piece on the state of AI warfare, the drone DARPA used can be purchased on Amazon this very minute. And the programming that it is equipped with, however, was anything but. But it turns out that the drone is now autonomous, eerily smart, and a hunting machine. Ding! I've been warning about these. It's going to be running, man. They're going to have their HD cameras on there, and they'll be broadcasting you on their digital billboards that are lined along the sides of the highways across the USA, showing you running, showing an HD of your face, and putting out a real-time wanted poster for somebody who has been determined to be a pre-crime criminal. Don't, you know, that won't be fantasy. That'll be very easy to do. We've covered all these technologies, and all this stuff is already live. You know, just because we haven't read about it doesn't mean it's not happening, or doesn't mean that it can't happen in the not-too-distant future. Though this drone, which was tested in Camp Edwards, Massachusetts, occasionally has trouble, most of the time, it is right on the money. Oh, we misidentified you. Oh, whoops. We killed you from the sky because we determined you had a firearm, but it was only a watering hose. Remember that story? The guy that got shot for having a gun in his front yard. He was watering his damn garden. This AI uses a variation of human and facial recognition software that American intelligence agencies already employ, and it can spot and track moving vehicles and spy on men hiding in the shadows. But most impressively, it could tell if a person on the ground is armed or not, and it is so advanced that it could tell the difference between a man holding a gun and another about to take a shot with a camera. The photographer was deemed a civilian. The drone, which isn't armed, and I'll put in parentheses, yet, can't turn itself on and go flying off looking for targets. Well, thank goodness, at least yet. Human controllers need to give it instructions, but once it has been assigned, the AI is remarkably self-sufficient. Army Major Christopher Olorowski, program manager at DARPA, told the New York Times that the program, quote, works with you. It is like having another head in the fight, unquote. The Army has previously said that it won't make killer robots. Oh, no, we won't. That have, quote, true autonomy. And the eagle-eyed autonomous drone, which DARPA has named Bender, after the Futurama character, certainly has not crossed that line yet. But it is, however, an impressive effort and further complicates an already complicated issue. And it might be pertinent to note that while we're on the subject, Futurama's Bender frequently claims that he wants to kill all humans. Kind of like Sophia, but remember, Sophia had a change of heart. Thank goodness, because she was very humanoid. And she learns from talking to people, so we want to make sure that she does not want to kill people. Kill all robots. I'll say it again. All right, so I ran across a story a few days back, and I thought this was probably a good point to talk about this one. So as artificial intelligence is rolling out on this exponential curve for reliability and smarts, we titled the show back a few days ago, based upon things that Elon Musk had said, puny human summoning the AI demon. Well, hey, our elections are screwed up. We don't have any good candidates to vote for. Everybody is claiming that we need a new government. Well, careful what you ask for. Problem, reaction, solution. This is out of MarketWatch.com. What if we used artificial intelligence to run government offices? AI-based clerks could greatly increase efficiency and lower taxes. Now, I told you that even when you look at something such as a pistol permit, if you go out to some of the websites here in upstate New York and you take a look at the time for approval, they warn you that after you submit your pistol permit, it's going to be a minimum, a bare minimum, of 9 months to process your application. Don't even think about calling or inquiring about it until after 9 months. And I remember at the time when I looked at that, I was like, are you kidding me? 9 months to process one application in the real world of corporate America, that would have gotten me shit canned about 8 months into it if it took me 9 months to complete one task. But that is how our government offices typically work. They are as slow as syrup, and hey, doesn't matter. They get good-ass pensions and health insurance, and they got, you know, tenured jobs in a lot of cases. So what does it matter? Let's be slow and suck the taxpayer. Well, this story here, this author visited his local health insurance office a few months ago, and after entering the building, he was welcomed into a dark, long corridor full of nervous people carrying bloated folders. The atmosphere was gloomy, and it was obvious that no one wanted to be there. After about 30 minutes, I realized why. During that time, the line had barely moved, and it took me the better part of a day to even reach a clerk. Yeah, go to the DMV. And as a result, I was late for two other errands that I had planned. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You ever have to go to any type of government office, you might as well cancel the entire day, because there's nothing that's going to happen for you. And it's supposed to be as painful as possible, I think, on purpose. And that is government bureaucracy for you. But it got me thinking, if we were able to put some sort of craft on Mars, then we surely should be able to harness the internet, computers, and all things digital to greatly improve the efficiency of routine government work. Government spending in the U.S. is eating up almost 40% of our U.S. gross domestic product. That's insane. I would say a lot of that government spending has to do with DARPA and the black holes of killer robots, but hey, the other part of that is all paying for these government benefits. And those costs go hand in hand with various levels of the government having to provide adequate health care, welfare benefits, and education, plus pensions for government employees, and huge torrents of data need to then be processed on a daily basis, which all require flexible, powerful, and automated systems. Currently, many government offices fail and they fall short since they employ more personnel than are needed, and they use outdated technology, and many of those people are pretty damn lazy and nasty if you've ever had to deal with them. Furthermore, much of the data they use is still analog instead of digital. Physical, in other words, using paper when none is necessary and not efficient. And it's also slow and expensive and irresponsible, and they probably lost it 5 freaking times. And using too many clerks to handle and process all that data results in the accumulation of human errors, which adds to additional aggravation and expenses for both the government and the citizens. So what then could be the solution? Well, careful what you ask for, like I said. A chain is as strong as its weakest link. And the same goes for government speed and efficiency. And the culprits are the sheer volume of paperwork and the humans that manage it. So to speed things up, every government office and department, and this is his opinion, not mine, needs to be on the same information highway. And instead of having thousands of local, state, and federal databases, some interconnected and some not, why not have just one big, fat, unified system, yes, that can spy on everything, where all data is accumulated online and can be accessed by citizens and government officials? That would eliminate the need to visit any government office in person. Guys, this is a very bad idea. Bad idea number 2,875. Let's put everything we know about you, everything that connects you to everything that's out there into one big fat database that could potentially then be sucked out by a hacker, be sucked out by a foreign actor, and utilized to, potentially extort you, maybe. I mean, I don't know, but this is not a good idea at all. To access the data, one would require a computer, tablet, or smartphone connected to the internet, and after entering a unique key, perhaps, yeah, let's go plug it in our social security number, the user, I would probably say like biometrics, the user would be greeted by a digital clerk, which is artificial intelligence in action. And of course, this clerk, we need to be able to respond in simple queries and understand written and spoken English and probably Spanish. And this then would mean that instead of going through a complex set of multi-level menus and having to memorize the names of various forms, one would just simply talk to the AI like a Cortana or a Siri as they would to a helpful and polite clerk. For example, I could ask the AI, quote, send my degree certificate to my future employer. And since John Smith would be titled my future employer in his contact list, AI would then display the document, ask me to confirm, and it would be forwarded to Mr. Smith's email. Getting a driver's license would take less than a minute. And an instructor, after I passed my test, would speak into a smartphone and say that I just passed my test and I now have a Class D driver's license. Certain officials and individuals would have special privileges, of course, where they could manually inspect a piece of data and make some changes. So I guess only certain officials and special individuals could make changes. And for this work, all existing data would need to be digitized so it could be accessed by the AI system. Hence, you know, what we've already talked about, the whole back end to this electronic medical records. I mean, that was to get us into the precision medicine database, and now we got all the DNA databases going on and tying it to, Israeli pre-crime facial recognition databases. And this dude obviously doesn't know that a lot of this stuff is already going on. They're just not going to give us access to that data because we would freak out if we knew how much data they actually had on us. So for this work, all existing data would need to be digitized so it could be accessed by the AI system. And furthermore, the system would need to understand that the data and manipulating it according to the preferences of its user would exist. And, you know, I was just thinking, manipulating it according to the preferences of its users. Yes, or manipulating it according to the preferences of some shady alphabet agency who wants to make an innocent person guilty. I mean, I could see the double-edged sword very clearly in this one. This is beyond frightening. They could make you anything they want. They would be able to change any records out there if they got rid of all the paper. Just like our voting system. Hey, no paper ballots. Woo! You voted for Clinton. No, you didn't. You were wearing a red t-shirt. If you think this is far-fetched, think again. DARPA's project. Oh, gotta love DARPA being in the middle of everything. Like, DARPA is just the thousand tentacle lizard that is getting into every bit of our lives. DARPA is the center of much of all of this. DARPA's project called CALO, C-A-L-O, Cognitive Assistant That Learns and Organizes is what CALO stands for, could be one such AI once it is polished and perfected. Developed from 2003 to 2008 by over 300 researchers, CALO was capable for organizing and prioritizing, as well as putting together new documents, mediating human communications, managing tasks, and more. You know, we found out the other day that there's that Ross, the AI lawyer that's already been hired by a law firm. And we also found out that there was another AI that is publishing legal texts. It's all back-ending to Watson. Publishing legal texts with citations and putting things into medical journals. It's pretty frightening when you think about it, because we're not going to need as many humans anymore. Humans are becoming obsolete. Humans are imperfect. And AI can do everything better, including oncology. We discovered with Watson and 20 cancer institutes that it is already working with. If this CALO sounds familiar, it's because it should be. It is a more famous offshoot of Siri, which is Apple's intelligent software assistant for the iOS. And we found out from the DARPA director in an interview back about a year ago that DARPA actually developed Siri in the beginning. So what about the database system? Again, a similar version already exists in Estonia. So Estonia is doing already AI-based queries. You know, you got to love it. They beta test this stuff out in little countries around to see how it's going to work. And now imagine giving the Siri-like AI the power to browse, modify, organize, and understand documents in a government database. And you'll be pretty close to what the AI from My Story could do. But what about security issues to prevent data theft and unauthorized manipulation? And, you know, question, what if it was even authorized manipulation? Who's authorizing it? Who is going to say that, you know, some document that was out there that said that your fine was paid couldn't, at the flip of a button, change it to being unpaid to make it a reason for you to be under arrest at this very moment if they want to get their hands on you? And it won't even have to be robot Android police showing up. You could even be a Google self-driving car. I've talked about that before. Get into the car and it's going to be scanning your face the second you get in and identifying you. And what if you are a person of interest now for some reason? Those doors are going to lock and your destination will be terminated. And you will, like I said, no longer cross go and collect your $200. You will be going directly to the interrogation center. But to prevent data theft and unauthorized manipulation, all this data would be encrypted and backed up regularly, and users would be able to protect their own accounts with a multi-level protection, including but not limited to special chip ID cards, passwords, voice and facial recognition. And hey, if Regina Duggan has anything to do with it, we will also have our swallowable or implantable tokens that will be able to identify us anywhere. All of this can be hacked, of course, but then the same can be said about someone breaking into your home or the government office or a website or stealing or forging your documents. But hey, the upside to this would be it would rapidly accelerate the economy. We heard Obama saying that all this is going to accelerate the economy, precision medicine, AI, big data. It's all going to be good for the economy. Let's not think about what it's going to do to our personal privacy and our personal safety of the future. No, let's run ahead. Not think about any of the potential damage because there are no laws. So don't worry about it. and more agile governments. What's not to like about it? Let me know what you think in the comments section. I don't know. Lazy, lazy, lazy. That's dangerous. That's what somebody said in the comments. All right. So where do we go from here? So we talked about EcoBot yesterday, a robot that was developed back in 2004 that has an artificial stomach consisting of 8 microbial fuel cells that contain bacteria that was harvested from sewage sludge to actually produce a human microbiome that allows this robot to power itself by eating biological material, in this case, flies, and turn that into electricity. And this development, I guess this has been going on for a while. There have been quite a few eating robots that can ingest food in the environment and turn it directly into energy that would allow them to run for long periods of time without ever having to be attended by a human or refueled. After we looked at this EcoBot eating flies, we looked at the DARPA EATER program, EATR, which was the acronym for the Energetically Autonomous Tactical Robot. One of the things that they had talked about was whether or not this would be a flesh-eating robot. And this Wired story from 2009 said that, yes, these eater, energetically autonomous tactical robots will collect organic matter, which, quote-unquote, could include human corpses to use as fuel. And, you know, don't worry about it. Because if it can't find corpses, it could just make ones, the story said. So I dug a little more into this eater, and I found an overview on robotictechnologyinc.com website. And this looks like a website that is dedicated to a lot of military technologies. Energetically Autonomous Tactical Robot Project. We originated the concept of EATER in 2003, so the very year before that fly-eating robot appeared on the scene. And the project was sponsored as a Phase 2 Small Business Innovation Research Project by who? Oh, of course, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. The project is advancing toward Phase 2 enhancement and Phase 3 commercialization. Now, that's got to worry you. We are taking a militarily funded and developed robot that eats organic material in the environment to power itself for unlimited amounts of time that potentially could include meat. We discovered they already got a prototype of flies working. Well, what's another human? And then set them loose, not only in the military, but the commercial market space. Says that they are working on Phase 3 commercialization with assistance from our team partners, Elbit, E-L-B-I-T, Systems of America, as well as, yes, you know it, Boeing Corporation. Additional team partners will be joining soon as well. The purpose of the energetically autonomous tactical robot, more affectionately known as EATER, patent pending, is to develop and demonstrate an autonomous robotic platform able to perform long range, long endurance missions without the need for manual conventional refueling, which would otherwise preclude the ability of the robot to perform such missions. The system obtains its energy by foraging, engaging in biologically inspired, and it makes you wonder whether or not the Weiss Institute had anything with this, because they are biologically inspired engineering is what they do there. Engaging in biologically inspired, organism-like energy harvesting behavior which is the equivalent of eating. So not only do we have AI that can see, an AI that can hear, an AI that can think, an AI that can reason, and now do swarm learning, but now we find out that we potentially have AI that can eat like a biological organism. It can find, ingest, and extract energy from biomass in the environment and other organically based energy sources, as well as use conventional and alternative fuels such as gasoline, heavy fuel, kerosene, diesel, propane, coal, cooking oil, and solar when suitable. So, hey, it doesn't need to eat humans once all the gas is gone. And the cooking oil and the kerosene and the diesel and the propane and the coal and the sun. We can still eat what's left on the planet. How crazy is this? I mean, think about warfare. I was listening to Anti-Media last night. They were talking about how they are bombing all of the food supply right now in Yemen to try and starve out the population. Well, shit, man, let's just send in an eater robot to go chomp all the crops up. And whoop, you're out of food, Charlie. In addition to missions requiring long-range, long-endurance ability, the Eater can provide direct support to combat units without requiring labor or material logistics for fueling. And now they are working on Phase 3. They can use this as a hybrid or a regular engine. And guys, they are talking in a presentation about using this to scan borders. Go...
JJ Inc. from Against the Wall, and you're listening to